It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always, on a Sunday night during the Big Brother OTT season, I'm here with you with the live feed correspondents to discuss what is going down in the BB house. First on the panel tonight, if you're new to the show, is a man who is not a Michael Phelps fan. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
Of course, Jordan. Anything I share with you, I have to just know, will not be held in confidence. I don't know why I keep doing these things to myself.
What's wrong? No, but Alex, there's nothing wrong with not being a Michael Phelps fan. There's lots of other people that don't like Michael Phelps.
All I'll say is that, you know, secondhand, I know a lot of people who grew up with the guy, went to swimming meets and stuff like that. By all accounts, he's not a very nice person. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'll say.
And in fairness to me, I didn't ask you why you didn't like him. I just said you didn't like him. So I didn't completely throw you under the bus. I slowly pushed you towards the front of the bus, but you didn't actually have to step off. So
anyway,
for next time when you complain, I'm going to that. Second is a man who just woke up from a 2-hour nap, but he's here and he's ready to talk about some BBOTT. It's Brent Walkamot, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
I'm here. I'm queer. Whatever. Sorry, you know the old phrase, like, we're here. We're queer. Get used to it. That was like a thing in the 90s. But like, all of you people are too young. You don't know any of that. So go to hell. Whatever. I'm up. I'm here. This is the best I can do for you people.
And Brent, we do appreciate it. Yeah, Alex, you said, so Alex knows. You're not too young,
good.
Alex.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And last but not least, I don't know what campaigns he's working on at the moment, but I'm sure he's got some stuff going on. It's Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
One of you owes me an apology because somebody went through my clothes, and I'm very upset about it.
All right, Chrissy.
Taryn, yeah. I'm sorry that I stole your Ezekiel Elliott jersey from your closet. I know
you
you're a big
trash,
Dallas Cowboys
Jordan.
Fan.
Trash.
Screw you. I don't care why, like, I don't get why, like, when you do it, it's not a big deal. But then when I do it, it's like, oh, it's World War III, Taryn. What the hell is this?
Listen, when we put our armpits, when I put my armpits over your pillows, that was just a fun joke. Going through my clothes is just ridiculous.
That is not a fun joke, Taryn. That is a smear campaign, and I won't stand for it.
A smear campaign.
Yeah, I've been waiting 2 days on that. Well, a day and change.
Well done, Alex. Bravo. Bravo, Kidwell. Bravo. All right. Let's set things up for you guys. If you're new to the Happy Hour, what we do on this show is we discuss what is going down on the live feeds with the live feed correspondents live here on robhizawebsite.com. We're taking your questions live. If you want to get those in, you can tweet them to me. I am at Jordan Parhar. You can use hashtag RehappyHour to send those in. If you want to subscribe to the show on YouTube and watch us for future live shows, you can go to robhizawebsite.com/YT. So, guys, let's talk about the current state of the Big Brother house. We've got a safety ceremony set up for this evening at about 7 p.m. Big Brother time, so less than a couple hours away. We had the first one last night. Taryn, what were the results of that safety ceremony?
A few people were given safety. Justin, Alex, Whitney, and who was the other one?
Yeah, Jordan, you idiot. Safety.
Jason, Justin, Alex, and Whitney.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jason, Alex, Whitney, and who am I missing?
Justin. Who's the other one?
And Justin. Thank you.
They were.
That's right. He was granted safety at the safety ceremony. Okay, so that happened. We also had discussion last week. Checked in with Alex and Taryn. You guys were on RHAP on Friday. There was talk of the power veto twist with the care package, and there was some debating going on, or maybe there was at first, as to how Scott was going to use it. He ultimately came to a consensus. Alex, did he follow through with that consensus? Did he go with the double veto?
Well, he hasn't had to yet. He's still got the time.
So when exactly is that announcement going to come?
Such
right
an
before
the drawn out debate that's raging online right now about like the veto options, the various veto options and nomination options, because we knew what was on the table on like Thursday. And, you know, even kind of Wednesday night. And so it's been a conversation for so long. And we're not going to actually find out until really Monday. I don't think he actually has to, like, at the ceremony he declares, right? So
yeah,
he may even get to find out who America's nominee is and then declare. And yeah, he will. Because, right, it'll be at the veto ceremony. Or no, it'll be at the ceremony right before the veto competition.
Right. The draw, I guess.
I think he chooses after they're drawn, I think.
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably when he would do it, although who knows, this is BBOTT. So, okay, so we've got that going on. Another safety ceremony happening tonight. Brent, in terms of the nominations, still the game plan, still locked in place. Scott is planning to backdoor Danielle or Shane.
Yeah, he's still planning on putting up Chrissy and Neely, and I don't know. I'm kind of ambivalent about his plan, I guess. I mean, if it works, great. On the other hand, I do think there's a great possibility that it could backfire. I feel like his better option would be to just put up Shane and Danielle if that's what you really want to have happen. But he's going to make his bed, and we'll see how it's going to turn out.
And the other wrench in the plan potentially as well is this America's nominee, Taryn. That's going to get announced, I guess, tomorrow. Voting opens up later this evening. So what in terms of the polling, in terms of your polling, because your polls have been up this season and they have been accurate.
Moderately accurate.
As accurate as anyone else's, I suppose.
I guess my point is this, that they are more... like they're more nuanced. Like if it's like 70-30 Monty going home, your poll would say like 50-40-10 Monty going home. So you're getting the right result. Well, I'm telling you that it wasn't as close as your poll said it was.
Well, my poll didn't say it was close. It was other polls that said it was close. My poll was kind of a runaway.
All right. So this is it's just always I can't with you.
You keep giving inaccurate information. It's not my fault.
Look, when I looked at your poll, it was like this big.
That was the other poll.
His micro poll.
Oh, Taryn, yeah, you got to get that micro fix. I mean, the micro poll. I don't think it's a micro poll, Taryn. I think it's a beautiful poll
big.
That you have.
It's pretty big. It's gotten up to like 2K, right?
So
like,
in terms of your poll, Taryn, that you have up this weekend, you got it up again. Well done. What's it saying in terms of America's nominee? Because I'm seeing a lot of negative stuff towards Danielle. And if that's the case, then that could throw a huge wrench into the plans of Scott.
Yes, yeah, so I put up a preliminary poll. Voting has not opened yet, so things can change. I'll probably put up another one tonight. But this has been the most runaway poll that I've put up so far. Danielle is the favorite to be nominated. She has 57% of the vote. Morgan is in second with 27%. So it seems like pretty big margin there for Danielle to be put up. The Joker's poll confirms that. Other polls are also confirming that. So right now it looks like Danielle is... probably a shoo-in at this point. However, we had some weird things happen with the have-nots, because every single poll in existence, basically, that had any sort of numbers attached to it, said that Danielle was the first likely to be a have-not, and Chrissy was the second likely to be a have-not, with way more votes than Alex. Alex was in fourth, in fifth, not even in the top three in really any of the major polls, and yet... Alex was one of the have-nots and Chrissy was not, which tells us that these polls are not necessarily as accurate as we think they are, even the Joker's ones with, you know, upwards of 10 to 15,000 votes. So there is a fan out there a section of fans out there that are not voting in these polls, or these polls are getting inaccurate information.
Interesting. So, and this brings up a question, the first one of the day, this one comes from Chris Frick. He said, how in the world did Alex get voted a have-not over Chrissy? So you just brought that up. So Alex Kidwell, what do you think this means? I mean, Taryn did bring that up, but could it mean that the fans that are voting in these polls are kind of just getting complacent and forgetting to vote, and some of these other, I don't know who is anti-Alex, but for whatever reason, all of these anti-Alex people are throwing the votes on her? Because... my mind was blown when I saw that Chrissy was not named a have not. To be honest, I was a little bit upset.
Yeah, well, me too. I think I think probably my best guess would be it speaks to like the closest thing there is to maybe like a casual BBOTT viewer, in the sense that Chrissy was clearly aligned with Jason from the beginning, and like Chrissy has used the thing to protect Jason. And if people are, to me, the most likely person just off the top of my head who would be, you know, going to CBS.com and voting but not going anywhere else would be someone who's like kind of casually watching or getting updates from Twitter or whatever. And if that's the case, then maybe they are not as irritated by Chrissy as those of us who have listened to her for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours.
Yes. Well, also the other thing that I was thinking, and I said this on Twitter, is that I don't understand why it's such a surprise to people, because Alex was always in fourth place from the polls that I was seeing for the most part. And I mean, and it was relatively close. Like, it was like you had this clear number one at the top, and then second, third, and fourth were always like, you know, 15%, 13%, 11%. There's a lot of wiggle room there for somebody to squeak into the top three. And beyond that, the people that wanted Alex as a have-not were very vocal about it. I mean, they were pissed off at Alex. They wanted her up there. They don't think it's fair that she has her sister in there. That's why a lot of people are trying to nominate Morgan for America's nominee. And they think that she's against the whole Jason crew. And whether that's fair or not, I mean, I think it's debatable. Even today, Alex was trying to think of a deal where she could, you know, align herself with Jason and Justin and the more likable people of the misfits that we tend to like on the outside here. So I'm not surprised that she became a have not. I was just more surprised that Chrissy didn't become a have not. On the other hand, like Alex said, there's plenty of look. My vote counts just as much as someone who literally doesn't watch any of the feeds, that just knows Jason is on OTT and logs on to CBS.com. They may not know anything about what's going on in the game. They just know that this chick looks like a friend of Jason, and she's kind of a misfit like me, and I don't want to make her a have-not. I want to make the pretty cheerleader blonde bitch the have-not. Let's do that to her. That's how people think.
I will say that there was one poll where Chrissy was about 15%. I think Alex was at 11 or 12. But most of the polls, including the Joker's ones, had Alex or had Chrissy ahead by a very large margin, which is why, like 10%, like 30,000 votes, like a large
30,000 votes
with counting multiple votes per person.
Okay.
So. So
that's the other thing on CBS.com,
bug in the matrix
on CBS.com, you can't vote multiple times for, you only have 20 votes, and once they're gone, right, they're gone. Like, so you can't sit there and click. Like,
they gave them 20 votes each, is to try to replicate the CBS, things. But basically,
like the snap poll with Donald Trump, like he's claiming that he's the winner.
Well, okay. So I don't think that we need to necessarily throw out all the poll data yet, because this is a case where even though Alex was behind by a large margin, things get a lot trickier when there's three people to put up there.
Exactly.
There are a lot of different combinations of people that people are going to make have-nots, and the data being off in this instance isn't nearly as big as the data being off, you know, if it was between two people. So I think that when it's between two people, we can still probably trust in these polls as long as there's a 5 to 10% margin, as long as there's enough voters. But we're definitely going to have to be a little more skeptical believing in them from now on.
And I will admit, guys, I have not voted once on any of these things. So in terms of the actual, and I don't know if you guys have either.
I vote all the time.
I finally broke, Jordan.
Okay, because I know, Alex, you said you don't. Okay, so well done.
No, but it's not, Jordan. I don't feel proud of it, neither do you.
Well, what I was going to say is, how, in terms of the voting then, Brent, is it when you vote for the have-nots, do you just vote for one person? So you have 20 votes and you can use those 20 however you want, or
right,
you have 20 ballots where you fill out three people?
That's the latter. You have 20 votes, you can vote for however you want. You can put them all on one person, you can put them all on three people, you can put them all on five people if you want, if you want to give five people votes for have-nots. Again, the people that really disliked Alex were using all of their 20 votes and voting for Alex. The people that didn't really care about Alex, that kind of dislike Chrissy, dislike Shelby, they were like six votes for Shelby, six votes for Chrissy, that sort of thing. And that's why I really wasn't surprised that Alex became a have-not. But apparently some people are.
I don't get why everyone needs 20 votes. Like, what's – why 20?
I agree. Right?
Where did they settle on 20?
Just
like,
give us one.
One.
Just
one.
Give us one.
Yeah, or, like, I guess they thought, like, okay, well, people have – like they just think their fans do nothing with their time, right? So they're just like, well, they're going to want to click more buttons than one.
Well,
so let's give them 50,000. Well, we can't do that. Well, it's like
– Is there some sort of call to action every time you vote? Because that might be it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
They get that in your face more often.
Some kind of like backwards subliminal message, please.
Yeah, every time you vote, you can share it with Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, so maybe.
That may be it.
Oh, wow. Maybe that's what it is. But interesting stuff there. Okay, so I'm going to go back to what Brent said. And I don't know, Brent, if you said this on the Sunday show last week or the recap with Big Meech. But it's sort of like, yeah, the American Idol thing where I think people just assume, oh, okay, well, so-and-so's safe, so I don't need to do this. Oh, well, Chrissy obviously is going to go up because – or as a have-not because
everybody's
doing this.
Everybody hates her, right?
Yeah, exactly. So people are like, I don't need to vote. I don't need to vote. And I think the message here is – For you guys listening, if you want something to happen, go vote for it. Because if you get complacent and don't vote for it, the other people that are like worried about their person, they are going to vote, and it's gonna come through, and it's gonna
happen.
I have
far more confidence that America is going to nominate Danielle as the nominee because I've seen basically nothing but Danielle from people out there, and the people who are voting for Danielle are very, very enthusiastic about it. So again. I would be stunned if it's anybody but Danielle. Something fishy's going on.
Yeah, well, the discrepancy that I think lies in the fact that you've got some people coinciding. Like, it's going to be interesting to see when different people who are trying to steer a game a different direction coincide at the same result for different reasons, right? Danielle, that's the case this week because you've got a lot of people just irritated at her for all kinds of social faux pas she's committing and things she's saying. And then you've also got the strategists wanting to put her on the block for various reasons to try to balance out the game. So it really, all signs point that way.
Is that I heard Scott on the feeds earlier today talking with Alex going like, man, it will be really, really terrible if America nominates Danielle, because then that'll blow my whole plan of trying to make sure that Shane doesn't get to play in the veto competition and he can take her off. And I'm like, oops.
Well, Scott, I don't know. I mean, Taryn, seriously, poor Scott, right? I mean, this guy has got to be thinking, because after this Danielle nomination happens, he's going to be so freaking confused because he goes up as a have-not last week. This week he wins HOH. This week he gets the care package. But then this week he pleads for America not to put Danielle up, and then they put Danielle up, which I don't think that's to his fault. I think it's just it has to do with Danielle, but... I don't even know if there's a question there, but it's just like, what? Like, poor guy, like, poor everyone. How do you play this game? Seriously.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily poor him. I don't think he's necessarily pleading to not put Danielle on the block either. I think that he's worried about worst case scenario, which is, oh man, what if Danielle went on the block and then Shane was picked to play veto and then Shane won the veto? That would be terrible.
But also, too, Taryn, if he goes through with his plan of using these two vetoes, now, before his plan was, okay, well, there are three nominees and there's these other people we're going to have, and odds are Shane and Danielle aren't both going to get picked. But now Danielle's automatically playing, so there's one person. Now all that needs to happen is for Shane to win it as well. Like, there's two chances for them to win one veto. I don't know. I think it's not good for him.
But Shane needs to win the veto in this instance. So Shane would need to be picked and win the veto. And if Danielle is not on the block and, say, Shelby or Morgan is up on the block as America's nominee, if one of the ball smashers wins the veto, they have to use the veto on their ally that's on the block that cannot be replaced. So in that instance, they also just need to win one veto. And so, as I mentioned on the Friday show, if you crunch the numbers, the odds are essentially the same either way.
All right.
I don't know if Scott's done that math yet, but he's not necessarily screwed if Danielle goes on the block. It's really a wash either way.
Taryn, did you use anything to do the math, or did you do it in your head?
I did use a calculator. I'm sorry.
Okay, so yeah, so what's Scott going to use? Jelly beans?
That's true.
No, Crackle. He's going to use Crackle bars, Alex.
Well, he did get a bag of jelly beans in with some fresh draws in his care package.
Oh, okay. That's good. He got some fresh underwear.
And he doesn't like the jelly beans, so you may as well use them for abacus.
All right. Okay, so, I mean, other than that, guys, any pressing matters we want to get into before we jump into the questions? Because I know, like Alex mentioned, not really too much has changed since, you know, since Scott has won this HOH and since you guys were on the podcast with Rob on Friday.
Yeah, basically, yeah. If you're looking at... looking at the strategic landscape of the game, I think that the America's voting has kept the two groups separate from each other for the most part. There was like it looked like things were going to start to mix up and the House was going to start to shift around. But when Monty got put up on the block and sent home, that divided the groups again. And so now nobody's on the block and there's talk again of combining, you know, mixing up the groups, essentially. As Brent mentioned, Alex was talking with Scott about wanting to form some sort of alliance with him, Jason, Justin, and Neely to try to form some sort of, like, you know, we'll keep each other safe. And then, you know, once they finally start to go after people that we want to keep, like Shelby, then we'll have to split away from them, potentially. But this is the sort of thing that I think a lot of people who like to watch strategy want to see. So hopefully it will go through. Hopefully nothing goes wrong with this plan. And they're able to just take out one of the showman's members, which allows these two groups to finally have some sort of peace talks, at least part of them. And we've also seen Justin do a very surprisingly good job of playing the middle, actually. He's been going to the Ball Smashers and the Virgin King, and he's been hanging out with them. He's been having a good time with them. He's been like, oh, man, those guys don't want me hanging out with you guys, but I like hanging out with you guys.
Question.
And okay,
I'm sorry to interrupt your soliloquy here, but is he playing the game or is he just being a nice guy? Because from where I'm sitting, it's the latter.
Well, I think it comes from his natural instincts to be a nice guy, but he has expressed that he's kind of figured out that what he's doing is good for him. Where it's like, man, if I'm good with everybody, then nobody's going to come after me. So, this is a good thing.
Right, and I heard Alex earlier today saying, well, I think I'm good with Justin, and Scott's like, yeah, I do too. And then they're like, but the problem is I think everybody else also thinks that too. So they're on to the fact that he's really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a testament to Justin's social game that he's essentially doing, I mean, not much different than what Scott was trying to do a couple weeks ago. And Scott was just like everyone's like number one most hated, you know, enemy rat floater. And Justin is like loved by everyone and making them dinner right now.
Yeah, I think the difference is that Scott practices like radical honesty and Justin is able to tell people what they want to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's, you know, I wanted to jump into the questions, but before we do that, let's do a quick round of one of my favorite games, the Stock Watch. Let's get into it. I want to hear what you guys have to say about where these people are standing in the House. First, Alex, are you buying or selling Scott after his HOH so far this week?
Yeah, based on, like, you know, relative to last week, I'd say buying because he was in such a bad spot after Cornbread left and it looked like Monty was going to go. It looked like Scott could easily be going out the door this week or next week. And, it's still not necessarily in a great spot once he gets out of HOH, but certainly this week he has so far used it and, it's allowed him to kind of like distance himself from everyone's, you know, the forefront of everyone's mind, which is where he had been coming into this week. Everyone was very adamantly anti-Scott. He was being blamed for the reasons that Monty and Justin didn't get along, among other things. So he's managed to escape that target, at least for now. So for that reason.
Brent, how would you rank Scott's HOH so far on a scale of 1 to 10?
Wow, I'd give it about an 8. I mean, 10 would be like do no harm and get your target out. I mean, like assuming he gets his target out, I think that he's going to create a few waves here by nominating Chrissy and Neely. We haven't seen how Neely has reacted yet to being on the block. I don't know how she's going to react. And we can, you know that Chrissy is going to take it as a major affront to America's doing and bidding, like by putting me on the block. Like, how dare you? But we'll see. I actually think he's done an amicable job considering there are a lot of variables that he can't control. That's why I was in favor of giving him the care package, which he got. And it did seem to make him feel a little bit better about himself. So, it was so funny watching the care package delivery because at the time they gave him the care package, they were like, that's a lot of power, Scott. You got to work. You got to think about it. And then like after the fact, they're totally like, lampooning him going like, that care package was shit. Like they don't like him. They don't like him at all.
Yeah, my worry about Scott and his HOH is that he has some things planned for his speeches. In particular, he wants to tell Chrissy that he feels like she has problems, adapting to certain social situations and when she feels uncomfortable. And I like that is gonna set her off so much. I know it because she thinks that she's like this master social person, right? Like she thinks that she's so great at everything. And so for somebody like Scott to tell her that she has issues socially, she is gonna lose her mind.
Yeah,
I don't know, Taryn, give her a little credit. I think she might be receptive.
I reserve the right to change my score on Scott based on the results of the speech.
That is fair, Brent.
Oh my goodness! Some beads too. and here you go,
Alex. Though if this happens, America is going to be so happy with Scott. Are they not? Like his popularity is going to soar.
Well, I wouldn't presume to speak for all of America, Jordan, but I will be delighted.
Oh my God, dude! I'm going to be so happy if Scott does that. I mean, that would just be so. I mean, terrible for his game personally, but I mean. Could be good.
But for... terrible for his game in this game. I don't know if it shoots him up the Joker's charts. I don't know how terrible it is. It's
right.
It's a new and scary world we're trying to navigate here, Jordan. We're figuring out as we go in many respects.
Yeah, it's like the Wild West of reality
West
TV
world.
Games.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, exactly. There we go. Okay, let's move on to someone else. Brent, talk to me about Alex. Are you buying or selling Alex based on where she's at the current moment?
I'm buying where she's at. I feel like she's still one of the people that the Misfits would like to target. They would like to get rid of her. I feel like there are a few people on that side who really would like to get rid of Alex. On the other hand, she has done some good work in that she knows that she can't just rest on her laurels. She's not fine with just like, yay, we're winning HOH, and yay, I have this alliance of plastic people. Like, that's not her. She wants to branch out and create relationships. And she realizes that those alliances are predicated on the fact that she first has to have a relationship with people like Justin and Jason and Neely. And she does have relationships with them. So I feel like that maybe that can bear fruit.
Taryn, could you see these relationships that she's building turning into solid alliances anytime soon, or do you think that's more down the road at this point?
I'd probably say down the road. I think that here's what would happen. If she approaches people, somebody like Jason, and says, hey, can we maybe potentially work together, and then her side wins HOH, Jason is going to take her up on that deal. He's going to be like, oh yeah, we're in together. You keep me safe from your side this week. And then they might be able to potentially build trust that week and then work together in the future. However, if Jason's side wins HOH, I think Jason is still in the mindset of Alex is probably my biggest threat and I need to make sure she leaves even if she wants to work with me. So I think that if his side wins HOH next week, we'll probably see him try to target her even if she tries to work with him.
Right. And Chrissy wants Alex nominated, and I feel like Neely would also want Alex nominated as well.
Okay. Speaking of Jason, Taryn, I'll throw it back to you. It's buying or selling Jason at this point in the game?
I think I might have to sell Jason. I think that he's probably the person that's best suited to winning over the audience consciously. I think Justin obviously is best at it just doing it unconsciously, but I feel like Jason generally knows what buttons to push and how to frame things. Sort of like I saw Tim do it in Big Brother Canada. Obviously not to that level, though. I think Jason has made some pretty big mistakes as well, like with Shelby. But despite this, he is slowly going down in popularity. And if one of the showmans leaves this week, I think people are going to start to look at him as the biggest target left on that side in the same way that Alex is on the other side. So I think he could be in hot water moving forward.
What's Jason in terms of, we had Brent talking about these relationships that Alex is building. She's talking to other people in the house. Alex Kidwell, is Jason doing anything along those lines or is he kind of just set with his Misfit crew?
Well, I mean, he's branched out, I would say, more than anyone but Justin. He's tried to do some branching out and talking to other people some this weekend. He does have like a final two kind of a deal with Justin. So that's like more, on a deeper level than kind of like the just whole general group. But yeah, no, I agree with Taren. I think, you know, his problem, like he, you know, there's nowhere to go but down from where he came into this game, right? He's number one in popularity and he has a leg up. So yeah, now we're getting to a point where, you know, people are starting to catch him in terms of popularity, and he's also engaging in like certain, you know, comments and stuff like that, that, you know, people are seeing as like, oh, Jason is not like as nice as I remember. Like, I've certainly seen that sentiment online. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. And yeah, this is a tough game.
I have a question for you guys. Just based on, we were talking about the final two between Jason and Justin earlier. Like, let's say that, you know, Scott's going to put two vetoes into play most likely here. And let's say that Shane wins one of them. What do you think would happen if, like, say, Justin won the other veto? Do you think he takes down Chrissy and Neely, or Chrissy or Neely, with the possibility that Jason goes up in her place? Or do you think that he would not use the veto to make sure that Jason stays safe?
I think he probably wouldn't use it because Jason might go up, right?
Yeah, okay. I feel like Jason would be aware of, he's obviously aware of that fact, and I think he would probably inform Justin and be like, hey, you know, don't use the POV in this, or in this scenario, right? Yeah. Right.
I feel like if Jason's telling him not to and Scott the HOH is telling him not to, he's the kind of guy who'd be like, all right, like, I can't do it. They're telling me I can't.
They've had conversations where they've talked about, like, yeah, if we need to, you know, Chrissy's kind of expendable. So, you know, I feel like they'd be fine with her leaving.
And that's Jason and Justin have had those expendable conversations.
I think Jason has had those conversations. I don't remember if Justin was involved, but but I think Justin feels closer with Jason and Neely than he does with Chrissy, for sure.
Okay, let's speaking of Chrissy, Alex, I'll throw this one to you. buying or selling Chrissy at this moment?
Selling. She's in for a fall. It's only a matter of time. Whether it comes this week or next or the week, I mean, it's coming, and it's coming soon, because she's built herself up to a point where there's nowhere else to go. I mean, she really has this idea in her head that she can do no wrong. And there's a lot going on that she seems to be very, very skewed in her perception of, and very hypocritical in regards to, more than many people in the house. And this is a house full of hypocritical, skewed people. So it's really, it's not like it's slim pickings here either. So it's rough.
Brent, what exactly happened with Chrissy over the weekend? I know Taren and Alex were referencing some sort of stealing of clothes that involved her and armpits. What exactly went down?
Well, those are two separate situations. I mean, the one was, I can't remember. I think it was, wasn't it the candy that was hidden under her clothes? Is that what it was? Yes, Taren?
They stole. Well, we talked about this on Friday, where the candy was stolen and then it was stolen back, and then you know, people are looking for it again.
Okay, so they were like, they told, apparently, and I must have missed this, Jason or maybe even Chrissy or some other people said, you know, don't touch my clothes. Well, that's where the stuff was hidden at. And so, of course, people are looking for the candy, and it was hidden in Chrissy's stuff, right? Or you don't know? Okay, we don't know.
Ultimately, it was back behind the couch.
Okay, it was behind the couch. Okay, I see. This is the part I got confused about, because I know that they touched her clothes, but I didn't know if there was anything in her clothes for them to be touching. The point is that they've engaged in these shenanigans about hiding the goddamn candy, and now they're upset that people are getting into their stuff. Well, don't hide the damn candy if you can't take the heat. Like, that's what the problem is right now. So, like, Jason and his side decided to really play hardball and hide the candy, and so the other side was looking for the candy, and they said, well, let's look in here. Oh, we're not supposed to touch that. That's Chrissy's clothes. Well, screw it. We got to find the candy. So we're looking through Chrissy's stuff, and she, like, I mean, you would have thought that somebody was murdered. I mean, she was just like, I can't believe these people. How dare they touch my stuff? And this is the part where I came in, because people started sending me clips. I was sleeping, and then, of course, I log online to see, well, okay, what's going on? And she's just beside herself. It was incredible.
Yeah, and I get it. It's like, you know, it would suck to have people go through your stuff. That's not a good feeling, and that's a sentiment I've seen expressed. But at the same time, if you're someone who gets set off by that, the Big Brother house is not the place for you. It never is.
There's no privacy in there.
None
so
whatsoever.
And also, she will talk about the other incident. She was there and laughing as Jason and Shane rubbed their armpits on Shelby's pillow and did not tell her. She had to find out herself by, you know, seeing that it smelled weird. And she was laughing along with that, thinking, oh, yeah, that's totally fine. But then gets really upset when people will go through her clothes. So, you know, and so upset that she is in tears saying that trash owes me an apology. Like, who are you? Who do you think you are right now?
Like, in no world is like, you know, like what you're worried about is like potential, like rummaging, and you are fine with biological warfare. Come on, you know, that is not kosher.
Yeah.
There's nothing cool about the smear campaign.
The smear
nothing cool
campaign.
Whatsoever.
Oh, man. Taryn, it's so funny. If you can go back and watch the video of this, guys, and find this moment when Taryn is doing the impression of Chrissy and how mad his face is. It's great. It really is great, Taryn Armstrong. Well done. Okay, so we talked about...
There's another incident, if we want to...
Oh, there's another! Okay,
oh, just
please.
Tell. Just tell.
Blanket Gate.
Okay, Blanket Gate. What was Blanket Gate?
So last night, you know, Danielle was made a have-not, and she's been complaining about that nonstop as well. But
of course,
Shelby wanted to take a blanket from the have-not room and bring it outside of the have-not room and use it. And she went into the have-not room, and her blankets weren't there. So she thought, like, oh man, Danielle and Shane must have stolen my blanket. So she took their blanket and tried to bring it outside, at which point she was told she wasn't allowed to do that. Really, the blankets had been in the washing machine, and so that's where they were. But when Danielle found out that Shelby had stolen her blanket, she freaked out, you know, like, this is unacceptable, like, these people are trying, like, this, it's the same rhetoric that goes on. And this is where I notice, again, like, Jason... It recognizes, like, hey, guys, like, they're taking this much less seriously than we are. Like, that's not a good look. But, you know, despite Jason's warnings, they're so full of themselves that they just feel like, no, this is righteous indignation, and I'm completely in the right here. They should be punished. Like, yeah, whatever.
On the other hand, I will have to say, as far as the plastic sides goes, like, look, there's one of the beds in the have-not room is a little bit bigger, and... Yeah. Alex and Shelby would not give the bigger bed to Danielle, even though they knew that Shane was going to sleep with her. Like, have a little effing decency and just give her the damn bed, you know? I mean, like, why do you have to take the bed? Give it to the person who has a showman who you know is going to be sleeping together.
You know, Danielle.
I don't know if have decency is the thing to say when we're talking about the person who's not having sex on camera.
Brent campaigned for Danielle to go to be a have-not so she would be separated from Shane.
I know, right? I kind of didn't know that he was going to sleep with her anyway. So then once I saw that, I was like, why am I trying to be mean to him then? You know,
you are have not trampoline last night, guys.
Yeah, you are right. You are right though. Like, there is pettiness on both sides. Like that, yes. That shouldn't be understated. Like it's seriously ridiculous. I know some people are enjoying it. It's not something that I particularly enjoy from either side. But it's going on. Like, there's a lot of built up resentment between the two sides.
All right. Hush, Alex is telling us that they got it on again. So
yeah. So Alex, I'm sure.
I didn't want to elaborate on that. I tried to slip it in unnoticed and move on. Come on.
And Alex,
much
you
like
tell...
Shane. Hey-o. All right.
I see what you did there. Okay, so Alex doesn't want to elaborate, but I'm sure if you
with
are...
The have-not trampoline, Jordan. The cobweb.
That's where they did it?
Yeah. And Shelby was like in the cobweb next door, and at one point she's just like, come on, guys.
She was going to say, like, safe sex is the only type of sex or something like that.
Is the best sex.
Yeah, safe sex is the best sex. And I'm like,
And then they groaned at her, like, oh, effing Shelby has such an issue with our open sex right now.
At one point, Chrissy was like, man, it felt so nice to not fall asleep to, like sloppy, like, macking noises.
Noises.
I don't know. I couldn't remember the way she described it.
Sounds right.
That sounded right.
Hey, in fairness to Chrissy, yeah,
right?
that would not be fun. Like that's the big underrated underreported thing about being in the BB house is you don't have. I don't know about you guys, but some people like to sleep with a fan or have to have some sort of white noise or whatever in the background. But you don't get that in the house. So if all you have is that sound. No, that's not good. That's not good.
If you've ever had those friends that for whatever reason you're in a situation where there's a bunch of people sleeping and there's those people, right? Those people where it's like they think that they're being subtle, but they're not, and they're really just being douches. Like this is that on a grand scale, because not only are they doing it in front of you, but they're doing it in front of hundreds of thousands of people at the very least on this season, and millions of people on the TV broadcast season. It's strange that people are willing to do it, but more power to them if they're comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, you forget about the cameras when you're in there, to be honest. So I learned that firsthand, unfortunately.
And it's also probably not making all the people who voted Danielle a have-not happy that Shane is able to sleep in there and that, this behavior is continuing uninterrupted. I think that was some people's reasoning behind voting her there in the first place.
Me.
Of course. Okay, let's quickly just rapid fire go through some more names here. So just quickly a couple words. Brent, buying or selling Morgan?
That's a sideways arrow. I don't feel like she's done anything to disadvantage herself or advantage herself this week. I mean,
okay, I'll give you another one. Neely.
Oh, I think she's still on the upswing. I still like Neely's game. She's not rubbing anybody the wrong way. She's keeping her head down. Nobody really wants to target her. I mean, I do feel like she's going to quickly become ultra pawn here, but I don't see her being evicted anytime soon. Not even maybe close to final six, final five.
Okay. Taryn, Shelby, buying or selling?
Probably buying. I feel like she was in a lot of trouble earlier last week and coming into this week. But the perception of her is slowly starting to go from annoying person that's maybe a threat that we need to get out to do I really want to waste my HOH on Shelby? Probably not. So I feel like she might be used as a pawn here and there, but I don't think she's probably going anywhere anytime soon necessarily.
Kidwell, your girl Whitney, buying or selling?
Whitney.
That's how the announcer guys always says Whitney. He always says it like that. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? It's like, I don't know if you guys have seen the Family Guy thing where Stewie says cool whip to Brian and he keeps getting mad. Anyway,
I'm trying to think of what that is. That's a super educated Southern accent, I feel like. You've got what's his name? Frank Underwood in House of Cards always drops the minority whip.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, but anyway, Alex, quickly, buying, selling on Whitney, sorry.
There's nothing going on there.
I mean, I guess, well, it's like I was kind of, I felt like I was kind of high on Whitney last week, maybe, and other people weren't. So I feel like from that perspective, I kind of am in the same spot, but she's not doing anything wrong. I mean, certainly, and I think Justin, I've heard a couple key things from Justin who, let's all be honest, unless something drastic happens, Justin is in this game for the long haul. I don't see anything that's really going to change unless somebody decides they need to make a move on him and risk, upsetting the entire natural balance of the whole thing in the process. So I think it was interesting that Justin was talking about some of the people on quote unquote the other side. And he was like, but yeah, Whitney, Whitney doesn't bother anybody. She ain't going nowhere. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, that's kind of telling. I think Whitney is someone that's just, good enough and social enough and not doing the things that grate on other people that, just by sheer process of elimination, she looks like she's in a good spot.
Okay. Justin, I think Brent is an obvious buy, right? I don't know. I guess he was already at a high spot last week.
Yeah,
so
still continue to buy him, though. I really will. I feel like that Justin is somebody who, if he's ever in danger, I feel like America's going to swoop in with the care package when they need to. I see Justin getting the double eviction veto that just handed to you or the fast forward to the final four care package. One of those two, I definitely feel like he'll get, especially if he's in danger. And there are enough people to give the other care packages to ahead of time that I feel like we wouldn't be forced to give it to him anyway. So, we'll see.
All right. And last but not least, Taryn, Shane, and Danielle as a unit, buying or selling?
Shanielle.
Yes.
As a unit, I guess I'll remain neutral because I feel like they were about as low as they could go last week in my estimation, so they're still there.
They're giving the shares away.
Yeah.
Yeah, why? If it's total
market
low,
crash.
I had
right?
already
yeah.
sold everything. It's already gone. Like, I'm not going to buy it back at this point.
All yeah. gone. All gone. Okay. All right, well, then we'll jump into some of your guys' questions then. If you want to send them in again, you can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag RehappyHour. Make sure you use that hashtag because it's harder for me to see them as I'm trying to balance, you know, the questions and reading on Twitter and all this stuff. I'm a one-man band in terms of that. So if you could please use that hashtag if you want to get those in, that would be great. Other thing as well, we've got the official chat room of the RehappyHour going at chatwing.com/RehappyHour if you want to join in with some people live chatting about the show. Okay, first question. This one is from friend of the show, Mike Bloom. Mike says, after looking at reactions to the have-nots, do you like house guests knowing America does or does not like them? Alex Kidwell, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't personally. I mean, I get the enjoyment from a drama perspective, and certainly it's different, and you know, it's interesting in a sense, but you know me. I mean, I prefer the strategy first and foremost. And, like, you know, like Taryn has touched on a little bit, I feel like this is something that tends to inhibit strategy more than enhance it because it does alter perception in a way that kind of, like, forces people in directions rather than, like, making them think they have all the options in the world, which is probably conducive to the best strategy.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you on that one, only because I feel like that the information that they get from America is always inconclusive at best. It's like, well, why did America do this and why did America do that? And, you know, you think you understand what's going on, but as Michelle stated on the previous podcast with us, you don't really know what America wants you to do or what America's trying to tell you. So I kind of like the fact that America has such a big hand here because ultimately America's going to be the one that determines the winner of this season. And the house guest that's best able to adapt and figure out, okay, who do I definitely need to get rid of based on the results that I'm seeing from America and take to the end is the person who's going to win the game.
Yeah, I think that's – Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that that is what the strategy of this season is. But, you know, for me, it's not as enjoyable necessarily as the other kind of strategy. Like this week, I feel like there really hasn't been much to talk about other than like who's the best person to vote on, I guess. Like, you know, most of the strategy is now coming from the audience, which I guess is a different kind of strategy. I prefer the other kind. I prefer watching them in the house. I'd prefer to be talking about the secret alliance that Alex does have with Jason and how they're going to try and, you know, take out one side or the other. But, you know, this is a different game, and we're going to see, hopefully, that strategy does get more interesting down the line, because right now it seems to just be like two sides. Hopefully, at some point, things get mixed up more and the American influence has a different effect, has an effect where it's like you don't know who you can work with at this point.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've been dying for a season like this for a long time where there's two sides of the house. I mean, like, I loved seasons like this back in the day where you, like, you knew which side you were on, and I was totally cool with it, and I'm ready to go to war. You know, like, that was my kind of season. I enjoyed those seasons. I know you may not enjoy those seasons, but I know plenty of people who did, and this season is giving me what I want. So, I mean, I've been very happy. I've been beyond shocked about how much I've liked this season. I've liked the mechanisms that they use to move the game forward. And I'm kind of thankful that America had such a big hand early on in the game that they did, because if they didn't, the plastic side of the house, based on the results of the HOH competitions, would absolutely be ruling this game, and I'd have to be putting up with goddamn cornbread and Monty for the rest of my life. Well, instead, I don't have to listen to them anymore.
Well, that's the thing, though, right? Because they probably wouldn't. We'd probably see more intermingling at this point. We'd see people shifting sides more. I think that America has divided the house, and if you are somebody that likes divided houses, I think that's a really great thing for you. I if you're somebody that likes the tension between the two sides, the petty fighting, all the drama, all that kind of stuff, I think this is seriously, like, that's a large portion of the audience, probably the majority of the audience. So there are probably a lot of happy people with this.
I still need to, yeah, I reserve right to alter my opinion, and I'll be a fancy Fincerton for a second, but I think that I think that there's a lot to be seen that we haven't seen yet, and I want to see what happens when somebody from the Misfits side wins head of household and how they use their reign to move their game forward. I could be wrong, but I feel like I'm going to like the results of it, though.
All right, this next question comes from Edward Giordano. Edward says, could this be the first all-female Final Four since Big Brother 6? Speaking of seasons where there's two sides of the house, Brent. And if so, who do you want in this hypothetical Final Four? Okay, so first off, let's unpack this. Alex Kidwell, thoughts on it's being an all-female Final Four? Personally, I don't think that's going to happen because I think Justin is pretty much a lock to be there at this point, no?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of early to say. I mean, two guys have gone home, and it started disproportionate guys to girls. So that's really the element here. It's just down to Scott, Shane, Jason, and Justin. But Jason and Justin are very, very popular. I would be surprised if one of those two guys doesn't make it to the Final Four.
Right. I would too.
Okay. Yeah. Taryn, you in agreement on that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, numerically, this is the best chance that an all-female Final Four would happen. You know, it's the best chance for it in a while. But as Alex mentioned, I think that the fact that there are basically two guys that are generally at the top of the popularity charts isn't a good sign for it.
Hypothetically, though, if we're just going to let's just pretend that, you know, let's say Justin and Jason do something that just pisses America off or the house off and they go home within the next month or so. And we do end up with an all female Final Four. Alex Kidwell, who do you think the right now most likely to make it to the end? I guess that's kind of a tough question, though, right? Because there's two sides of the house. So now that I think maybe I should just punt on that question.
Yeah,
I don't know, right?
Tough.
That's pretty
it's
tough
hard
at this
to
point.
Envision how it would go. I mean, right? We could like say which four we would like to see there, but beyond that, I don't know if.
I think it would be a mix of people for sure. I think Neely would be there, and then you know a couple of the plastics, and then maybe somebody like Chrissy.
Oh, no. Okay, well, let's let's take the next question. Okay, this one's from, this is something we haven't touched upon that I wanted to. This one's from Christy Lee. Christy says, who do you recommend as America's nominee this week? I want Danny to go, but Scott and pals to have the best chance at POV. And Taryn touched upon this a little bit.
You want Danny to go, but you want, Scott and pals. Okay, okay.
Yes, because,
you know,
right, yeah, plastics, exactly, right? Okay, the cool. Plastics.
Scott
yes,
and the Pilgrims.
Yes, the ball smashers, the ball smashers.
The plastics, they're not the ball smashers, please.
Yeah, by the way, that was so random. Why would they rename their alliance when they already, like, all
well,
four of them are still
that
there?
They're the plastics.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know
well,
if they ever...
Or like, they did, yeah.
Yeah, they called themselves the plastics, but then they rebranded to Monty and his pythons, and then when Monty left, they had to rebrand again.
Yeah, okay. It was like the whole, okay. Like, Coke and the new Coke thing. It's not working.
Yeah, no. No.
Rebrand happened without Scott, who had just won HOH to save them all. Scott's story, his Big Brother story is, like, you know, Cornbread was super loyal to him, and he voted him out right away. And then he's super loyal to all these people that want nothing to do with him, really.
Nothing. Right.
Although I am liking Scott. If you didn't see him, he got into a little bit of a fight with Shane, where Shane was basically like trying to get him to put up somebody from his side. And Scott really just stood his ground and basically told him to F off. You know, I mean, like, he didn't say it like that, but he was basically like, I'm not going to put up people who were, you know, who had my back. And, you know, i.e., you didn't really have my back and you're trying to tell me what to do right now, dude. It was a very interesting little kind of a beta cock match between the two of them. And I enjoyed it very much.
It reminds me a little a little bit of Victor, actually, in
you're
that, like, he's very he's very, like, he's very loyal and just, like, very honest about things. And because of that, when people come to him, like, complaining, he's able to shut them down because, like, listen, I've been straight up. You're the one that's been lying, so you can't say anything that's going to make any difference.
Yeah, and it is funny to me that, you know, like, I was listening to Chrissy today say, like, I know he's going to put me up. Like, he has some hatred of me. I don't know why. It's totally irrational. And then I just, like, for the fun of it, flashed back a couple days just to remind myself and listen to her talk about how she knew she would hate Scott because he's from Bangor, Maine. And how her mom had an ex from Bangor, Maine that pretty much ruined her entire family and, like, was responsible for, like, her grandmother's death or something crazy. I don't even know, like, what the story was. But suffice it to say, Scott's hometown is, like, a charge for Chrissy.
Right.
Wow. And like, it was always going to be a volatile relationship. The moment he said, "Hi, I'm Scott, and I'm from Bangor, Maine."
Taryn, that would be like if I hated you because you're from Boston and I hate the Boston Bruins, the hockey team. Like that, like just,
I think
no.
That makes more sense, actually.
Like that, but that's just like so stupid. So Danielle is the consensus. Danielle is going to go up. But is this the right move, Alex Kidwell? Should we be endorsing this? Are we endorsing the Danielle nomination?
Yeah, we're endorsing it. And
yeah,
it's going to happen because you've got like the overwhelming masses going that direction. As for like what is optimal strategy and stuff, I'm just going to let Taryn speak on that. I have exhausted my brain trying to like see
both
sides of this
equation.
The whole deal is that
Scott is trying to get Shane out, so he doesn't want him to give him an automatic opportunity to play in the veto. On the other hand, America has to put somebody up from the Misfits side if we want to make sure that somebody from the Misfits side goes. Otherwise, the Misfits themselves could have the votes to send home whoever they want if somebody from the Plastic side goes up. So you have to put Danielle up because she's A, least likely to win the veto, and B, not really his primary target. On the other hand, she's a good secondary target if something weird happens. Obviously, worst case scenario is A, Shane gets drawn to play in the veto. B, he then wins one of the two vetoes and opts to save Danielle. That's when all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about optimal strategy would be nominating somebody like Justin. That's probably best case scenario to get out one of the Showman's members, but obviously that's not going to happen.
The other thing is why doesn't he just nominate them both? Why not just put up Shane and Danielle? Why did this switch? See, this is where I was asleep because I was tweeting we were all going to nominate Chrissy, and then it was going to be Shane and Danielle, and then the care package came, and then I had to go to work that night, and then all of a sudden it switched over to Chrissy and Neely are now the nominees, and he's going to backdoor Shane. Why not just put them both up?
The veto, right, Taryn? Is that why?
Well, basically when he got the care package, he saw the veto and he changed his plan. I do agree, though, with Brent in that if you're thinking about trying to take out one of the two of them, putting them both up still works. They still would have to come in first and second, which
right.
is not particularly likely, even
not
though they
likely
have shown
all.
Themselves to be good competitors. But I think the potentially the thing that changes his mind, I don't know if he's thought about this, but it is something that he should be considering, is that they have proven themselves to be good competitors. Neely and Chrissy are not necessarily good competitors. Neely has shown some aptitude for competitions, but what I think Scott is maybe doing is he wants to make sure that his side gets at least one of the vetoes because he's expecting his side to get put up, and he needs to make sure that they are able to use one of the vetoes on that nomination.
Okay.
So...
I can go along with that.
Yeah, like I don't know if that's his thought process, but that's what.
But
I
like,
would be
and I imagine, Taryn, I'm sure it probably is because based on the knowledge he has, right? I mean, his side, that side, keeps getting screwed over by America, basically. So, why wouldn't he assume that? So, I think, when you lay it out like that, I think it does make sense. This next one is from Dave from LA. Dave says, what are Scott's best and worst case scenarios with the double and boomerang veto? So I'll throw this to you, Taryn, so that way Alex can have his brain can have a break. So first, it's going to be the double veto that he's going to use, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So the double veto. So what's the so best case scenario for the double veto for Scott is that him and I guess even if Neely and Chrissy won the double veto, that would be great, right? Or even if one of his people
right,
won
the whole thing. He was
anybody.
Saying earlier today, I think. Yeah, he was like, he was laughing at the fact that if Neely or Chrissy somehow fluked themselves into a veto, they would be inadvertently helping him out and getting his target out.
Yeah, anybody that wins the veto except for Shane is exactly what he needs, basically. So that it's literally all or nothing in that sense. It's if Shane wins, then both Shane and Danielle would be safe, assuming Danielle is on the block. If anybody else wins, then either Shane or Danielle will probably be going home.
But should he be choosing the boomerang veto?
Well, not necessarily, because in that case, if Shane is drawn, then Shane now has two chances to be safe, because either he can win or Danielle can win, because Danielle would be able to keep the both of them safe if she won the double the boomerang veto. She would not be able to if she won the double veto.
Right.
Now, worst case scenario, well, Tanner.
Although, isn't it less likely that someone from Scott's side goes home in that situation? Versus, like, most likely for a member of the showmance to go
well, assuming one of his side goes up, then he needs double the chances to win at least one of the vetoes, because he only needs one to save his alliance member.
I feel like the boomerang veto is always the best choice, because he can't... Whoever wins the boomerang veto can't use it to... They can't use it to save a replacement nominee. Like, if Shane goes up as a nominee, as a replacement nominee, you can't then use it a second time to then take him down again. Like, Danielle wouldn't... If, like, let's say Danielle's the winner of the boomerang veto, and she goes up by America. She can't save herself and Shane with the boomerang veto. She just can't.
Well, because theoretically...
she can.
She has the choice, right? She can save herself and then not use the second half of it.
Right, because no one has to go up in her place.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I know. This is ridiculous.
Okay, yeah, so there you go. So that's the wrinkle in
like,
that.
I love games. I play games. This is, like, maddening. Like, let's all
it's
be
the
honest
whole,
for
like,
a second.
It's the whole America can't be replaced thing.
Yeah, the America can't be replaced thing is what really throws a wrench into it.
Taryn may be tweeting, like, it's basic high school math, and you guys are all stupid, but you know
I didn't
what,
say
man?
People are stupid.
I know,
See,
putting words in
I am
mouth.
Not the only one who misrepresents your positions.
No, he did it on purpose, though.
Okay, well then, Taryn, let's talk about the worst case scenario then. Hypothetically, I guess for Scott, the worst case scenario would be if there's two vetoes and Danielle and Shane win both of them, right? But then I guess then if Danielle and Shane win, then I guess it's just Chrissy or Neely going home.
It doesn't really matter if they win both of them. Because
it's just the Shane one.
I feel like Chrissy and Shane are the worst case scenarios, because
right.
That would make Danielle, Shane, and Chrissy all safe. So he would have to basically boot Neely, Justin, or Jason. None of those options are good for him.
Right.
Ooh, that would be catastrophic if that happened.
And that could happen.
That could happen.
It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to accidentally take out one of the most popular players.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
For sure, for sure. For his game, definitely. But for the fans, I think the fans would be... I don't know what would happen if we saw Jason or Justin.
Yeah, if he nominates Jason or Justin, especially Justin, like he might as well just like move into the have-not room.
Just go back out into that sand trap and just stay there for the rest of the season.
Oh, man. Okay. This question comes from John Heddles. John says, did you guys witness the amazing What Are the Odds game played by the ball smasher Scott and Justin yesterday before the safety ceremony? Anybody watch this? Yes? No? No?
I was working.
Sorry. Taryn, Alex, yeah. What are the odds game? Any of you guys see that? No?
Wasn't that riveting. Nobody tweeted me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm flashing through like all the ridiculous conversations and I'm like, it's not about Eskimo brothers. It's not about
I think this is the game where they were giving out dares. And they were dares. One of the dares was Shelby having to say, you know, safe sex is the best sex at night. I think Scott had to go and like boop Jason on the nose. And Jason was like, those are their pranks. Our pranks would be like, you know, I don't remember something like really gross. Which is totally true.
Like Justin's aforementioned idea of dropping his balls in Monty's raccoon hat.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Which is where that song originated that he was singing.
Wait. So he wrote a song about putting his genitals in Monty's hat.
There may or may not have been a jingle.
A tweet just was posted. Justin says, genital genetics. If it rhymes, it must be the truth. Everyone laughs and says that it doesn't rhyme.
And the truth about what? Like, what are you even talking about?
Like,
I love Justin
so
much.
Like, that's an alliteration, genital genetics. Like, it's not a rhyme. Oh, my God.
It's the truth. Oh, man. It's what it is. It's just the truth. It's the truth.
Justin is great. I love him. He's a fun guy. Speaking of Justin, this next one's from Sandy Brooks. Sandy says, is Justin's social game too good? Well, his closeness with this ball smasher slash Virgin King caused distrust in his alliance. Brent,
no,
what do you think about that?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe not right now. I'll just say right now, Like Chrissy was positing the fact that, you know, do you think that Justin's flipping, or is he going to be working with the other side? Even though, like, from obviously from people like Taryn's perspective and even my perspective, it would be good for Justin to branch out a little bit and, you know, make other alliances and relationships with people. But Jason was like, no way. He's solid. He's with us. And I do believe that when push comes to shove, right now he's with them. But who knows what. You know, what happens down the line? You know, once you remove Shane from the board, you know, what happens to Danielle? Because I know she's with the Misfits, but they don't really love her all that much. On the other hand, the Plastics kind of hate her as well. So I don't really know what's going to happen with Danielle.
Yeah, but she's more aware of their hatred. So for now, she hangs at the one side.
That's true.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, it's interesting because you have certain people in there who have like one person they really want to see out. And I don't think they're necessarily going to be inclined to take the blinders off until that person goes. Like Chrissy is going to target Scott as long as it is an earthly option for her. There's not going to be another person in her crosshairs until Scott is no longer someone she sees every day. Probably the same is true for like Neely and Alex. And I think there's a couple of those situations.
Well, what's interesting is that America's influence has kind of swapped the typical archetypes for people like Justin. I feel like he was swapped with Monty, where like typically Justin, like the character, the crazy kind of dude, he'll go out pretty early in most seasons, where the Monty type, who's just kind of like a social, or not necessarily Monty, but maybe more like a Shane, where he's just kind of like a boring boring social guy who's going to last for a while because he just fits in with the house. And then halfway through the game, toward three-fourths of the way through the game, he's finally going to be targeted because he's too likable, he's too athletic. I feel like that's potentially where Jason is headed. I was talking to Alex about Justin's game earlier, and I feel like, given my general knowledge of Big Brother, I feel like Justin probably gets targeted right around like week five, week six. And at that point, he has to either like win out, or America has to help him enough to make it to Final Two. That's in a regular season of Big Brother. I don't know if it's going to happen in this season, but that's kind of where I see his trajectory right now, tentatively.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, not Monty. Monty definitely went full Devin.
You're right.
And we should have expected similar results. I mean, when he's walking around in the robe and with the key all weekend, that's never a good sign.
It's always good times.
That's always like the high point of the roller coaster for any HOH.
Right,
and you know it's coming.
Shane was definitely the better comparison there.
Yes. And you got yourself, Taryn, so it's okay. Okay, next question. This one's from...
I just wanted the opportunity to Joan on Monty some more. Sorry.
No, that's okay. We're all about the Monty on this show. Or Monte, as some people like to call it.
Monty.
All right, this next question is from Edward Morris, Edmo. He says, will Danielle get screwed more by America or Shane? Alex Kidwell, what do you have to say about that?
I'd rather not say much about that.
It's Shane. 100% Shane. Like, right. America has helped her out of a jam 2 weeks in a row. Even if they send her home this week, they're still up by one in terms of, like, helping her out. So, definitely Shane.
Yeah. Okay. I think I co-signed that as well. Okay. Next one. This one's from Roxanne Sagala. Roxanne says, according to the BBOTT voting schedule, America's last nominee vote will be November 12th to 13th. Thoughts? Have you guys seen this?
I was wondering when the America's nominee would end. So do we know how many people are left at that point and how many people are still in the house when America's nominee stops?
Well, I think we talked about this last week when we were looking at the future care packages. So that's, I think, right around when the Final Four challenge pass comes in. So I think it's, what, Final Six, Final Five-ish?
So what was the date again?
November 12th to 13th.
I think it's 2 weeks before the finale.
Isn't the finale December 1st?
Yeah. It's about 2 weeks. So it'll probably be Final Five. Voting will stop at Final Five.
So there's 10 people left in the house right now, right? Yeah?
Because there's 11 people.
13, yeah. Oh. So now we're down.
Oh, they start with 13. So there's 11 people left in the house right now. Yeah. I'll figure it out.
Okay. So Brent's going to work on that.
I imagine it would be Final Five, especially if, you know, somebody's going to be safe at Final Five anyway, right? Like, so then every eligible person would be up if America's HOH was still in effect, or America's nomination.
Right. Okay. Let's take one in the meantime.
So final seven.
You turn on Jason and Justin and take Shelby to the end.
There'll be seven people left at the point when America makes its final nomination. At final six onward, it's America's nothing to do. I don't know if America has an eviction vote, but we don't have a nominee.
Okay. I imagine America's eviction vote will stay.
I hope America's eviction vote goes the way of the dinosaur as well.
That would be great.
Yeah, okay. I'd hope so. I mean, that would have
a lot
of power.
It's BBOTT, guys. Who knows what they have in store?
Maybe they'll just get rid of HOH instead.
I mean, that's
the other route.
Hooray! No HOH. That would be... No. Okay.
Just pick
everyone
the winner
just
at Final
doing
Five.
Dances to the camera like, you can save me.
Just like the one that Justin was doing during the HOH comp. Okay.
If you guys haven't seen when Justin did not become a have-not, I think you guys should go online and see that. That's a really good clip. Like, he's running
really
up
excited.
And down the streets like Fred Sanford, like, ah! I was like, it's good, mate.
no reservations either. Like, no, like, he did not care that he's rubbing it in people's faces.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, Danielle was super upset, and he was just like, yes!
Oh, man.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care, everyone. Okay. Let's see. We had one here that I wanted to pull up. Okay, here we go. This one's from Evelyn Ferguson. She says, no question. Please continue to shame Alex for not liking Michael Phelps. Hashtag happy hour.
God. I don't know. Can we strike this one from the records?
Alex just doesn't like heroes or patriotism or any sort of like good thing in this world, basically.
Yeah, I'm appearing on like the list of like suspected communists right now.
Oh my god!
I'm sure that still exists somewhere, right?
That's totally
not a reference 70 years out of date.
He's a spy, everyone. Have you seen the Americans? He's a spy.
I have not seen The Americans, but
such
I've heard it. I've,
What's
yeah,
my
I've
trigger word, Taryn?
All right.
I don't know.
Let's take one more question, guys, and then we'll wrap things up for this evening. This one is from Cassidy, and Cassidy says what was on my mind. She says, say one of the showmates goes, hypothetically, what is the next week going to look like? So we are assuming, guys, if things play out like we expect them to, and who knows, everything could just go up in the air. But I think it's probably, I mean, just based on how Taryn has laid things out, I do think odds are one of Shane or Danielle is going to go home this week. So if that is the case, Brent Wolgamott, what is going to happen next week?
I have to think that Chrissy and Danielle would probably go up as nominees if the plastic side of the house wins head of household, although I don't think that's necessarily a good call on their part. And if the Misfits side of the house wins, I think that they would get a lot of pressure to put up Scott and Alex.
Okay, interesting. So, Taryn, you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that they'll still try to get Danielle out if she's still in the house. And as far as America goes, I think that, you know, either there's enough momentum to get Chrissy on the block, or we might see, that might be the tipping point, and we might see somebody like Alex on the block, if she's not already.
I think Scott's also a possibility to go on the block. I mean, America sees him as a bit of a Ronnie, as a bit of a weasel, and, you know, they don't like that archetype.
Oh, man. Poor
Scott. I like that a Ronnie is the thing we say now.
He's a Ronnie.
He's being such a Ronnie in there.
Poor Ronnie.
Such a friggin' Ronnie about it.
Ronnie is such a nice guy, and it sucks that he has that reputation. He really is a nice man, Ronnie Talbot, and that's so unfortunate that... anyway...
I mean, I think Scott's a very nice person, too.
Yes,
so.
Scott is a nice person, Alex Kidwell, right? You were saying, like, he's, like, the poor kid. He just, I don't think he's going to be able to ever catch a break this season. And he just wants to be loved, and he's not getting it. It's so sad.
He's a little weird, though. He says he does see Stephen King up there from time to time. So maybe like Stephen King has like touched him, and that's like why he's kind of the way he is.
What? Are you accusing Stephen King of something right now?
Yeah, he has eerie powers. You haven't heard about that? That's a real thing.
Actually,
I've heard folk stories about people that have, you know, come in contact with him, and then weird things happen. Yeah. Look it up.
Wow. Okay. So there we go. Michael Phelps and Stephen King. We covered all sorts of different topics.
Wow. I didn't think you'd go there, Alex.
No, I am stunned, but there we go.
It's a bad
back in my home
reference.
State right there. You are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a Maine thing. Yeah. That's right. Taryn is originally from Maine.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently Chrissy doesn't like you, Taryn. So congrats.
No, I'm sure she doesn't.
Congrats.
I also, you know, 72 isn't my favorite number. So I've got that going against me as well.
Wait, yeah, she didn't pick it though.
Wait, that's a thing too? That's a thing?
She's constantly talking about now, like, oh man, 72 is the answer to the HOH question. That's my favorite number. Oh my God.
She almost got a tattoo of it, Jordan. Yeah. She was this close.
Is
to
she
getting
born,
it
is she,
on her body?
Is she born in 1972?
I don't know, but. She just all went
that
on.
That would make
and
her
on
the
about,
oldest person in the house, that, which that, she that, thinks she is, but she's not because Neely's lying.
That this competition, right? Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. So she thinks that that this was her HOH to win because it basically required no physical effort whatsoever.
No. In fairness to Chrissy, though, I mean, two out of the three, and even in the one that required, like, Chrissy's not no slouch in the physical competitions. Like, she had a good strategy for that second one. So, yeah. I mean, she's not a bad competitor by any means.
I know, but she was like, this one should have been mine. I should have guessed 72. I don't know why I didn't do it.
Yeah, wow. The universe gifted her the win, and she didn't see it.
And she
said,
no.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, she thought something better was coming.
72 is a terrible number, Chrissy. I'm just going to say that. Like, I don't know where – like, in terms of favorite numbers, as a sports – and maybe it's because I'm a sports fan, but no athlete ever that I can even – I can't name a single athlete that is number 72, and for good reason. It's just –
it's like an offensive line number.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I thought Phelps and King were bad, but you're going after 72 now? I mean, this is dangerous stuff here.
Bring it.
While we're talking about the numbers and the ages, though, I should point out that, like, Neely slipped up this weekend where she was talking about how she got fired in 2001 when she should be 13. I'm like, wait, I'm 29 and that don't add up for me, Neely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
that
getting
is
laid
so
laid off
funny.
At 13, man. That's rough.
Wait, okay, so...
You got bills.
Oh man. Okay. So, quick timeout. So, hold on. So, So if she was 13 in 2001, if she's actually 33, or is it if she's 28,
no,
which
she's
is the age she's
28.
In? Okay. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But even.
But even so.
Even so, I was gonna. Say,
you were 18 and you lost.
18
your...
and you go. Man,
it could happen. But
it could happen. It could happen, Neely. And I'm
but
sorry.
But I think it was like
a good. Off.
It wasn't like, you know. Chick-fil-A or something. It was like some kind of, like, you know, I don't know, whatever it was. It's like not the kind of thing you would even think an 18-year-old would do. So.
Wow. Maybe it was at a department store, like, that she can't say, like Nordstrom that first night. Anyway, guys, I think that's going to do it for this edition of the Happy Hour. If you guys in the chat room could give us some hashtag ideas, that would be great. In the meantime, just setting things up for you guys a little bit here. We still have tickets available for the Big Brother Over the Top live show that's taking place in New York City. Not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. Guys, it's almost here. I can't believe it. Maybe there will be – maybe Brent and Taryn will sing a duet a la Polly Calafiore. Who knows what will happen. Lots of shenanigans. It's going to be a very fun night. I had someone ask me what the format is for the show, if it'll be similar to a live Survivor Know-It-Alls. And to be honest, we don't really know.
I think basically
– I think so. Yeah, yeah, but I mean, we don't know who's showing up. So I think, and there's no episode we have to discuss, so I think it'll probably be formatted similar to the Tuesday show that Rob does, except it will be live, and we will have lots of guests.
Be able to show like the recap or like the previous day's recap on like the screen or something, because I know that we watch the Survivor episode when we're there for Know It All, so
yes.
I don't know if we can see anything for this. If we just go straight into a show, that's fine with me. I don't care. Whatever Rob wants to do.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, but it's going to be a great night. Please come check it out if you're in the New York area. We'd love to meet you and hang out with you, have a beer, chat about Big Brother. You can get those tickets by going to robinswebsite.com/BBOTTLive. Tickets are $10, and I believe Rob mentioned on the last show, you can come if you are 16, but you need to have a parent 18 or above. You're good to go. So definitely check that out if you haven't already. Don't forget to subscribe to the show as well. You can go to robinswebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. To make sure you don't miss an episode of this on iTunes. You can also subscribe again by going to robinswebsite.com/YT to get the video version of this podcast. And if you guys could give this video a thumbs up, like it, that would help us out a lot. So it will be greatly appreciated if you can go ahead and do that. Brent, I hear you're yawning. I'm sorry that I'm boring you so much. It's I guess
I'm already checking out.
Yeah,
I thought you couldn't hear that.
I can hear it all, Brent. I can hear it all. I'm like Stephen King like that. I can hear everything. okay, looking at the hashtags, I see
I've got a couple.
Okay, Alex,
I was actually writing some down this time.
Oh, great. Okay. Okay, so productive. I'm very proud. Thank you. So what do you have, Kimball?
So I've got hashtag smear campaign.
Okay, I like that.
I've got hashtag macking noises.
Okay.
And I've got hashtag 13 going on Neely.
Okay.
All equally dumb and take your pick.
Oh, I mean, come on.
13 going on Neely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
That's great.
Yeah, so please tweet us with the hashtag and let us know what you thought about the show. Leave some comments at robinswebsite.com as well. Love getting those and hearing your thoughts and what you guys have to say. Just a programming note, Rob will be back on Tuesday to recap what went down in the veto ceremony, what went down with in terms of America's nominee, all that stuff, and basically giving you a preview for the eviction. And Wednesday night, we will be back live at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, working the night shift, talking about the eviction and the upcoming HOH competition and all that sort of jazz. So don't forget to tune in for that. If you're around, I believe that should be after the U.S. presidential debate. So you can watch the debate, get into the serious stuff, and then after, check out the silly nonsense to take your mind off of everything. Should be a really fun time. Don't forget to follow all these guys on Twitter. Alex is at Alex Kidwell, Brent is at One Lucky Gay, and Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. Guys, thank you so much for joining me, and thank you to you guys watching us live, and those of you listening in the audio archives, we greatly appreciate it. For Alex Kidwell, Brent Walgamont, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag 13 going on Neely. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. The theme song of the reality TV We're Happy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.